Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Joining me today.
Are you sure?
I'm joining me today.
He's joining. He's French.
Joining
is
today.
John Ramos.
Hello.
Yeah, I got that mixed up.
Hey.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
John Hamilton and Pat Ramos.
How about that?
Pramos.
Well, you know, I want to talk about today. First, just quickly to cover what's happening in Jerusalem. Everything's happening in Jerusalem.
I know it.
Pay attention. Go to JerusalemPost.com.org or whatever. Go to VFNTV.com and connect to it. You can get it to our links. It's right there in our links area. But you just every day take a little time. They have a 5-minute news capture. You can listen to it. But our Secretary of Defense is there meeting with the Prime Minister, and they're openly saying that we're committed to defend Israel. I mean, that's what we're... They said the right things.
They always say the right things.
Yes.
They always try to say the right things.
Just want to watch BB's face, you know.
But yeah.
You know, his face is like, he's so...
It's
like, oh, it's like, he's so amazing. And it's like, even though...
We know they're lying to you. And you don't even make a crazy look. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Help us learn, Lord, in humility. And so they're there right now, and they're determining, you know, what they're going to do, how they're going to support. They did an exercise with Israel, I believe. But to their surprise, and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, or Bibi, said that they're not surprised that Iran is working on missiles to be able to deliver the payload, but missiles. And it's just like, you know, it's amazing. We have to understand, even though that the leadership is not blinking right now while these things are being said, that they should be. This is horrific. Whatever you do to Israel will be done to you, period.
Yep.
And understand what's being done right now is major. Secondly, is the increase of John talked about it the other day. You can find out more at VFNTV.com on the torch. But about the anti-Semitism that is raising up. And understand, according to Chuck Pierce of Zion Ministries out of Corinth, Texas, that the root of racism is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism means racist towards Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to say that because anti-Semitism, you know, just doesn't ring a bell with a lot of folks. But the word race, I mean, you have people right now, I was watching a news clip, but they're calling everything racism. It's like, no, that's not racism. That was actually had to do with gender and, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But it was just that the narrative has been, you know, prostituted, really, as I talked about earlier program, because it's to call something that's not racism racism is offensive to the people who paid huge prices in America to be able to birth, you know, the 50-year anniversary for the Civil Rights Bill just came around, I think, in July or June.
Just recently.
Dr. King, of course, the 50th year celebration of him speaking on the Mall, and that the painstaking blood, sweat, and tears and oppression that that the African-American and people of color went through in this nation, and to attach that to anything other than that, I believe, is offensive to the people who are still walking a lot of that out today.
Mm-hmm.
But the root of that is anti-Semitism. And I haven't done a deep study in this, but you can go back and look that some of these big companies today, according to the reports of PBS, did some programming on it, and ABC News, but definitely the Public Broadcasting Service did, in regards to Siemens industry was operating in the area of anti-Semitic behavior, you know, during the Holocaust and all that. And they were doing things and building things. Ford Motor Company, you know, he was openly racist towards the Jews based on that. And so you think about it, you know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? And it's like, if you hate God, and you have to understand, hating the apple of God's eye, the people he just chose to show himself mighty, not them mighty, that is to hate him. Whatever we do to the apple of God's eye, that's what we were doing. We're poking our finger in, mm-hmm. in God's eye. And so if you're racist towards God, you're never going to get racism out of your nation. Mm. And so we cannot keep cranking up racism towards the Jews and think that a fire is not going to start in America.
Right.
So we got to pray, dear God, change the mindset of our leadership towards Israel. And saying things like, you got to go back to the 1967 borders in Israel. Those are undefensible borders. And hopefully there's a related link to this article. You can actually find out about it. But those are undefensible borders. But this is what was said through Chuck Pierce about that. He says, if you, since that public declaration was made that you got to go back to the 1967 lines, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. Mm. If you haven't read history, the 60s were horrific.
Mm, not good.
And today we're suffering the consequences of those who raised hell in the 60s from the outside. Now we're at leadership on the inside.
That's right.
And these are the very ones that were doing these radical things at that time. They couldn't change it from without, and now they're trying to change it from within. If you haven't heard the series, you need to really take the time and invest yourself in listening to Organizers of the Night versus Organizer of the Day, the Alinsky children, and understanding how that works. Because that's what's happening right now. The world is being organized, but God is greater than that, and God can change in a moment's notice. You'd be really encouraged by listening to that. But this is taking place, and so I would love to see an end to this disease called racism. But it starts in Israel. It starts with us honoring every race. Mm. And as Christians, by the way, this is going to shock you. As Christians, as Christ followers, that we're to love all nations. He says, go tell all the nations, tell everyone, go to all the nations and tell them, preach to them the good news that I love them and I'll forgive them and I'll bring them into the family of God. Make disciples of the nations. That word comes from the word ethnos, where we get the word ethnic group. He mm-hmm. loves all of us. And to hate a person based on the thin veneer of their skin, not only is it ignorant, but you're hating God. Mm-hmm. He says you cannot. And this is, I just don't know. Based on, God's not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. He doesn't speak and not act and promise and not fulfill. He said, if you don't love your brother, I don't care how much you profess to love me. He says, it's impossible for you to love God. You cannot love God who you can't see if you can't love your brother that you can see. He says, you cannot. It's just like an impossible thing.
And it's not like, it's love.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's
not
love.
Like, it's love.
Right. And so you can call yourself a believer. You can call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself a this and a that, you know, and something, but you have to understand, if you want to be able to stand before God and say, I loved you and I loved others, then you're going to have to love your brother. And it's a stronghold. It's a spirit. It's a spirit. And I'm just believing, just like I talked about in an earlier program, that it's going to be confronted and it's going to come down. And God's going to deliver us from that. And if you want your city to be free, you got to have a conversation about it. You got to talk about it. And not, I'm talking about it doesn't matter. The world's going to do whatever it's going to do. I'm talking about the church, people who proclaim to be Christians. Mm-hmm. Because as I said before, the most segregated moment in America is 10 or 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. How disappointing, think about this. How disappointing is that to our Father? Mm. Truly, if we are believers, you know, and of course he says, you don't even love me if you don't even love him or her or whatever. But just let's just imagine that we are his children. And then he sees us not even talking to each other, not appreciating each other, not understanding the beauty of how he's designed each of us and how we express ourselves and how we love to worship. And we just like walk around segregated. Can you imagine that? You imagine having like the Waltons or, you know, or the 19 and Counting Crew, whatever they're called. And then you have like fragmented kids. They have 19 children. This couple does. I don't know. Duggars. And imagine these are the parents of those kids. And then these kids are all, I'm not talking to those kids. And these kids, I'm not talking to those kids over there. Yeah. And how a parent feels about that.
Yeah.
And you think about that. And it's like, my goodness, that is just so sad. Understand, this is how God feels about us. God loves mankind. We're all created in the image and the likeness of God. And that red blood, the blood where life is, exists, it's the same. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you go. If you need a blood transfusion, any brother or sister, if the matching blood types, can actually give you a blood transfusion. You know why? Because we're all the same. Mm-hmm. We're all the same. And we have to begin to deal with this. And how you know it's a spirit, and this is, I was going to talk about Barnabas, but we will in a minute. It's because you just listen to people talk and you're thinking, is that really coming out of your mouth?
Right.
They don't even know it's coming out of their mouth. And it's like, if we love God, we have to deal with the fact that we do or don't love our brother. We have to confront that. I mean, and you can love folks who don't love you. It doesn't matter. Even if you were an oppressed race and you're a Christian, you're going to have to love folks who might not have difficulty in loving you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm saying. And nobody's done that greater than I've seen African-Americans, Christians. Some of the people I look at today, and I'm just in awe of how their faith and their love and their compassion and their mercy and towards 90% of the history of the founding of this nation since Christopher Columbus set his Jewish-funded boot on the, right?
It's funded by the Jews. Liner, yeah.
He bought him those boots, those Nikes. And I didn't have Nikes. But it's 90% of our history since then has been under oppression for the African-American, which means 10%. 10% has been walking around at this, you know, level of okay. And then you see Christians, African-American Christians, that are filled with love and compassion. And, you know, there are some folks that just disassociate from reality. But I'm talking about people that know the real deal and they still love. Mm-hmm. That's why I truly believe what Rick Joyner said is going to happen, that the third great awakening is going to come from the African-American, because who could know better than a man or woman of God that has went through all of that unjust treatment, all these things against them, and they still love. Mm. They still believe and worship Jesus Christ, and they still lead others from all different nations, different ethnos to the Lord. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Right.
That is so beautiful. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Your daughter will inevitably come home one day declaring that she's in love. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and how you respond, particularly to your teen daughter's declarations of love, well, that's important. And here's teen expert Darlene Brock explaining.
I don't think you diminish those emotions. I mean, they're 14 years old, and they don't know what love means. Absolutely not. So you talk about it. What's he look like? Who is he? Why do you think you love him? What's special about him? Because at that point, you want to start establishing what's special about a boy that makes them worthy of her love. You know, not just is he cute and he skateboards well, but more, you know, he's nice to the teacher. He's nice to his mommy. And ask those kind of questions, because those are the things that matter.
Hear more trusted advice for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes. The truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it, listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. you know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church, you know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city, but you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to vfntv.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about the population of America and the different languages. We're going right into that segment. But, you know, the population counter, you might be able to see it on your screen, possibly, but we're watching it count up as we're talking, right? You got to see this thing.
Wow.
That we are at 7.1 billion folks, 7,166,000,000. I was just seeing that last number. I'm thinking, wow, man, babies are coming like this and this. Like, my goodness, my gracious.
Look at that.
Part of that's the Duggars right there. But the U.S. population is 300. You're looking at it now, 318 million.
It's barely creeping.
52,000. Which, by the way, you look at all the stuff that we're using, everything that the resources, the money, the wealth, and we're putting together right now, Pastor Kachara Bradford out of Texas, and we're working on a discipleship book for finances, managing finances in God's way. And we're looking at the reality of just how wealthy America is. Mm. I mean, our poorest is richer than 70% of the world, but forget about that stat. Think about the middle class. You're in the top 3% of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, hopefully this will be available to you on this article, but we have on the VFN Torch where you can actually enter in your income and find out where you are on the world's wealth and income. But it says right here that the top population in countries is, you know, China. What's that to the left? It says, oh, every 8 seconds, a baby's being born.
Wow.
Boom, 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 boom.
Every eight seconds, a baby is being born. Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And so you got China's number one with the population of countries of what, 1.3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
India is 1.2 billion. I mean, you put those together, that India and China has one half of the world's population, then pretty much.
Yeah.
Then the United States has 300. Look how far we drop.
That's a huge drop.
We're next in line at 318,000, but our wealth, 318 million. but our wealth has more wealth than the majority of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
And we demand more. And the Lord says this. This is what he says. He that's been given much, much will be expected. Mm-hmm. And no matter what people tell you, I mean, think about this, that if in fact, you know, he says that if you didn't take care, if whatever you did the least of these of mine, you did or didn't do for me, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you think about the fact that when we don't use our finances to be able to help someone, or he that lends to the poor lends to God, and this significant thing, and this is just as we're writing out this revelation for discipleship. I mean, he is very significant. How you manage wherever your heart treasure is, that's where your heart is. And so, and of course, you say he's not after your money's after your heart. It's already his already. But understand this: if that's how intense he feels about it, how do you really? I mean, this is the American gospel is totally just twisted things,
right?
If that's how he feels about that, and that's where your heart is, how is he going to feel about the 97% of regular church attenders right now in America, 97% of them who are robbing from him in tithes and offerings? Mm-hmm. Outside of what your concept is and people are wasting it and whatever, but the very fact that you didn't say that you got, by giving the tithe to God, the first tithe, you're saying, God, you're the one that gave this to me. In other words, taking credit for all that. And if he feels about all this finances and meeting people's needs, and he says, you know, whatever you did with the talents that were entrusted to you, and the one that didn't do anything with it, he says, you wicked, you know, wicked and worthless servant, you know, you're going to go away with this weeping and gnashing of teeth, which is not a different level of hell, heaven, it's hell. And so it just makes you, I just saw not honoring God with tithes and offerings in a whole new light as we're writing this out. It's like the intensity of that wrong heart towards God. You know, because America has been entrusted with the greatest wealth the world has ever seen. But yet, what are we doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
We're just saying more, and greed. And all these folks, over half the world's population in India and China, and there's people right now today that are living on $300 a year annual income. And people are saying, I don't know what, you know, what can I do? How can I help people? You can help them. One way you can help them, of course, is by partnering, becoming a sponsor of VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program so we can get more people to invest. But you can find a ministry. You can be the minister or be the ministry yourself and begin to just send $5, $10, any money to go help.
Anything.
Of course, as wealthy as we are in America, there's a lot more. I mean, just knock out a couple Starbucks cups of coffee or get a lower version of your cable package. Or get a lower version of the phone technology you're using.
That's right.
And just give money, because you're going to be held accountable for what you did or didn't do, what you have. Mm. This stuff trying to make people feel good and kind of nudge them in the right direction. They need to be told you're robbing from God.
That's right.
See, the reason why a whole nation of you is under a curse is because you're robbing from God, is what he talks about.
It's amazing how, you know, the curse that's on life is never connected to disobedience. It's like, oh, catch a clue. This is a serious curse that's on you.
That's right.
And if you don't repent, and that's what needs, you know, things don't change. It's the word of God that's shared with us. And then a repentance is a change of mind. It's a mindset. It's saying, wow, I feel sorry. I feel, you know, bad. I'm convicted that this is what I've done. But now I need to do something about this. I need to stop doing this and turn the other way.
And he said, you know, what he said was, this is what Jesus said, just so you know, you cannot serve money and me.
Mm-mm.
What he's saying is, you got to make up your mind. And if you never honored God with money, you never make God your God. You make money your God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of good excuses, but there's still, I mean,
not in America, not if our poorest person America, our poorest is richer than, and it's right now, 7.1 billion people on the face of the earth. America only has 318 million. And we're our poorest is richer than 70% of that 7 billion folks. Do you really think God's going to go, I really understood. Yeah, you just, that cable package and that new phone and that Nintendo thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to be held accountable for it.
Right.
We're going to be held accountable for what's going on. And just a huge entrustment. He that's been entrusted with much, much is expected. And I just feel that deep in my heart. You know, we'll talk about more in the future, but just realize, despite what people are telling you, Something's expected from you, from God. And he says, don't bury it. It won't be good if you bury what I've entrusted to you. What about this? Yeah. The nation's coming to America here.
Well, you know, there's these map makers are putting these maps together, and they got some research from the Census Bureau. And the Census Bureau did an American Community Survey. And what they wanted to find out, what are the languages in this survey that people are speaking in their households, in their families across the nation?
Pat and I speak Southern dialect.
Yeah.
Jew? Very well.
No, Jew?
Well, that's not listed here. That's not listed in the census.
Okay, it's not.
Okay, let me educate you what they said.
Left out.
Right? Well, hey, get ready, okay? Yeah. The world has expanded. We're going to share some things with you. Well, of course, the number one language is English.
Really?
English, that's number one.
Oh, in America.
In America, America. Second is Spanish. That's close to English because every, 44, 46 states out of the 50 states all speak Spanish. It's the second most common spoken language. But then the third language. What is the third most spoken language in the United States?
Portuguese?
And no, it's different in different states. For instance, in Georgia, it's Korean.
In Georgia?
It's Korean. In California,
it's Vietnamese.
No. Vietnamese is Texas. Texas. That's the third most spoken language. In California, it's Tagalog, which is from the Philippines.
So this is the second.
Third. Number one is English. The second most common language spoken in the United States is Spanish, and that's across the board. Mm. And now the third most spoken language. Because it's like, okay, we've got English and Spanish down.
Breaks down per state now.
Per state, it's broken down. And Florida is French. Louisiana is French. French and Creole.
Okay, that's why.
Migration. Yeah. Okay.
You're talking about Haiti, yes.
Yeah, Oklahoma, Vietnamese. You have all these different places. Really interesting. Pennsylvania, Italian. Mm-hmm. And so you keep going. But this is what's interesting. When you get into native language of Native Americans, they break it down, huge. And also, they call it... Let me get it right for you. It is Indo-Aryan languages, which is Indian, and Hindi of all of them, all across the country. And what is this information useful for? The nations have come to the United States. All the nations have come here, and we can reach them in their own languages, and we can get them the gospel. To me, it's so, so encouraging. We're going to make sure this is available for you on the Torch, maps and all. Get ready.
Which means a third great awakening can launch out missionaries, indigenous missionaries around the world. Mm-hmm. Is that exciting?
In every language.
It's almost like a second Azusa Street.
Yeah.
Lord, let it be. End abortion.
Yes.
Send revival.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an I something or an N something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Meeting me today on the program is Pat Hamilton.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
I'm meeting you right here.
Yeah. He's meeting
It's good
you.
To meet you.
Yeah. It's in the meeting.
Good to meet you, too.
Pat, Greg, this is Pat.
Yeah, and John.
Hey, and
John
I'm
Paul.
John.
It's good to have you on the program today, John Paul. And all the crew that's behind the scenes with the peeking dog that comes
that's
up
right.
like that. And the sleeping marine and the we're so glad to have the audience here today.
The typing marine.
Yes. And our Christian Television Network audience and our television and radio audience. I'm telling you, we are so glad that we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I know truly it's a network that God is building through your love gifts, through your sponsorship, through your prayers, and it just moving on a rhema word of God, and then those that hear from God say yes, and next thing you know, God just begins to show himself mighty. And for those on the Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. every single day, Monday through Friday, right there when you come home from work, we are there to be able to hopefully encourage you and give you a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of what happened that day. And you can join us on Christian Television Network in that area, different cable systems, broadcast television, and all that. But I know on the Cox Cable, I guess
Cox
it is.
Communications.
Yeah, that's channel 13, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And then the HD channel, we actually have HD. Mm-hmm. You can actually see Pat in HD. He looks
Ooh.
Better in HD.
Yeah, he does.
And his stripes go a different direction. Is all your whatever your HD is, I think they're all 30, different.
33 in Cox Communications.
Yeah, and 33 on the well, that's no, broadcast.
That's broadcast.
Yeah, broadcast. Yeah.
But you can find out all that at VFNTV.com on the schedule there. The I want to talk about because time is so short on our program sometimes, I just want to talk about today, the son of encouragement. Mm. Barnabas, this particular man is so significant, and the connectivity of this man called Barnabas. I mean, his name is Joseph, but the apostles, they just called him Barnabas. They called him the son of encouragement. And everybody needs to have a Barnabas in their life. It's just like, right?
No doubt.
Has anybody seen Barnabas lately? You know, and
talk it to me.
Yeah, right. And then you finally say, if it is a Barnabas, you got to first check. You don't want nothing, do you?
Right.
Oh, I thought you was a Barnabas.
Exactly.
It's on the back shelf. Anyway, the and so when you think about this guy, they start talking about him in Acts chapter 4. I mean, this guy was so such an encourager. People who misinterpreted him tried to do what he did to get what he got, but they didn't understand. He's just a natural mm-hmm. person whose heart was one about encouraging folks. Mm-hmm. So I heard somebody tell me this. They said, he has the gift of encouragement. And I said, no, he's a liar.
Yeah.
He doesn't. And I didn't say he was a liar.
Right.
Anyways, encouraging, I mean, it's not flattery, right?
Flattery
is not encouragement.
No.
Encouragement is being truthful, honest, integrity, and that type of thing. That's not encouragement, just lying to folks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, look, you're losing weight. Flattery.
Unless they really lost weight.
Yeah, well, yeah. John and I went to go see the parade in Washington, in New York City, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah.
People started tying ropes to us and kind of float around. That's not true. He won't float. He won't float. Throw me in the water. I'll float. I will float. So Barnabas, I mean, this guy was so cool when you think about him. And the people who tried to imitate him, you know, was Ananias and Sapphira. They saw what he had did, because the first thing he did was he believed, he was given this gift of this willingness to be able to sacrifice. He had a willing heart, wanting to sacrifice for God's leadership. He knew what God was going to do, and he sold a piece of his property. Get this. Mm-hmm. This is in the Bible, by the way. He sold a piece of his property, and he gave the money, the proceeds, or actually the money that he got from the particular property, and he gave it to the apostles who were running the church of that day. And because he just really believed in God's form of government, what God was doing in the church, and he knew that's where you would take it to, and they would determine what was going to go on with it. And of course, when that happens, people get start looking at and admire someone who does that. Well, somebody else wanted that admiration. They didn't want that, those behaviors. And so Ananias and Sapphira, when they saw that, they went and negotiated some property, sold it, cut it in half, told everybody they were given the whole thing, and they just died because they lied. And they found out that this is all about God. That was between Barnabas and God.
That's right.
And for, it was the same thing between Ananias and Sapphira. It was between them and God. They thought it was between them and Peter. They thought Barnabas was giving that money to Peter. And they found out that he was actually giving it to God.
All right.
Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. And so then, therefore, you know, Barnabas was rewarded off of that. And since they lied to God, they died in front of God, right?
Miriam had that problem too. She thought she was just talking to Moses.
Yeah, it was very effective church growth program. Anyway, so fear the Lord spread, you know, and everybody listened up. A lot of land was peaceful. I don't know if we should sell it or not. They sold it. Anyway, so here he was. So that's very important. When you think about an encourager, first of all, if you don't honor God with the tithes and offerings, you're not anybody's encourager. If you're not a godly encouragement in the context of that. So if you want to encourage your pastor, the apostle that's in your church, and give, be faithful to God. I mean, that's somebody that's going to really encourage, because they're trying to fulfill this mandate, this call that God is calling them to lead, and that is contingent upon the entire church doing what it's called to do and functioning. And he was a man of integrity. This guy, Barnabas, was such a man of integrity that he could be trusted. Think about this. He could be trusted in such a way that that he was sent to the very first place that they heard reports that Gentiles would become Christians, you know, in Antioch. And that's pretty powerful. But prior to that, there was this particular guy that had been persecuting the church, and so he wasn't wanted by the Gentile Christians or the Jewish Christians, the believers. And so his name was Saul, and he was able to look at Saul. He had the ability to discern the truth about someone and understand they came with all this luggage, but he had the ability to look in their life and begin to pull that part of who they became out and let go, you know, forgetting what's behind, pressing on towards what's ahead. And this guy named Saul, he saw what other people didn't see, and they rejected him. And Barnabas didn't. Barnabas was so, had such integrity before the apostles that he was able to carry this man who used to kill the church, at least stand there and give permission while they were being killed and persecute them, this guy named Saul. And they took Barnabas at his word that this guy was okay. I mean, think about it. That's how powerful this Barnabas is. We need some people that when they speak, you know they mean what they mean.
That's right.
It's so weird to me. And it's always been weird. It's like, are you really not disturbed that what you said you didn't do? You know? I mean, it happens
all the time.
And, you know, men of the cloth. As far as in, right? Well, people in ministry. And so, and he had such integrity that they took his word that this man who tried to kill them and had them persecuted, who was had such a passion to destroy the church, and to get people to blaspheme against God so they could do away with these guys called Christians, part of the sect. Well, he became a Christian, but they took Barnabas' word for it. Mm-hmm. He is such a man of integrity that the apostles said, well, you know, Barnabas vouches for him. He's a man of integrity. Mm-hmm. We know we can trust him. He's a man. But look what he's done. I mean, he's laid his life down. He's sowed into what's happening, what God is doing. He's been encouragement to us, and we can take his word for it. So the apostles, the leaders of the first day church, allowed the former persecutor to move freely amongst the apostles and to preach in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. based on Barnabas' word. Mm. I mean, is there a man or a woman of integrity out there today? Just think how beautiful that is. That you do what you say. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's encouragement alone. That's just do what you say. I just did my job, right? What'd you do? I just did my job. And so he built this relationship with this man too, in the midst of all this, you know, and everybody needs to be an encourager. Everybody needs to be one, needs to have one, but a true one, not a flattering one. But when all of a sudden, when the first time Gentiles became Christians, the report came to where the leadership was, where the apostles were in Jerusalem, and who did they send? Hmm. They sent Barnabas. He's a man, you can trust his word. I mean, he's a man of integrity. He'll let us know what's going on. And who does he take with him? He takes Saul with him. Mm-hmm. And they allow, because of Barnabas, they let Saul go. And it was interesting, too, that Barnabas was not only the connectivity of Saul to the church and the apostles, but he was the connectivity of Saul, which became Paul, to the Gentiles. It was a son of encouragement. It was Barnabas that brought us this Paul who was called to the Gentiles. I mean, mm-hmm. think about how powerful that is. Mm-hmm. It took an encourager and somebody with integrity who was a man of their word, who was a giver to God and understood what God was doing, that could be trusted. You could put him anywhere and he's going to do what God said. They sent him with Saul.
Yeah.
Because you had to have Barnabas there because they would think, you know, isn't this the guy? And it's in that moment when all this has taken place, because Barnabas was able to discern inside, this encourager was able to discern inside this man named Paul, who became Paul, that he was going to be a leader in God's church. He's going to be an apostle. And when I get back from this break, I want to tell you some pretty awesome things that happened at Antioch because of this encouragement.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says Visit Our Sponsors, I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, mm-hmm. and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's LIGHT, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on Visit Our Sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
I remember when I had to hire folks for employment and fire folks. And I just never liked doing that. It just felt so uncomfortable, man. Yeah. It was, I just, I would stay up all night. I mean, it was the most difficult thing in the world for me to do. I mean, just could not do. I was horrible at it. And I think I was more nervous than the person. They were like, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. And I used to work with a gentleman at one time. He was like the general manager at one place I worked. And I was another manager. And we would, we had to, you know, fire some folks. He would have me come in the office with him, and we would speak to the employee. And he had such an amazing way, or interesting way of
unique.
Yeah, unique. That's a good way. Unique way of letting people go, firing them. When he would say, like, Pat, listen, I brought you in here to the office and want to talk about your performance. And I just want to let you know that we appreciate your efforts here at the job and what you're doing. But as of right now, we're terminating your employment. And we appreciate you giving a good effort and trying, and thank you very much. And if you need anything else, you know, please feel free to let us know. But we're, you know, thank you very much. And he'd walk out.
Short and sweet.
And they look at me like, did I just get fired? And I'm like, yeah.
I mean, yes, sir. Yes,
yeah. Yeah. That, and they were like, okay. You know, and it's like, wow. Just like that. And he was able to do it. And I'm just sitting there like, oh, my goodness.
Wow. That's so smooth.
And it was interesting. And the key phrase here is that we're terminating your employment. The employment. The employment. So they're able to save face because they can say, hey, you know.
Hey, that's right. Hey, they got rid of my job. It wasn't me after all.
I feel so much better that I didn't get fired.
It was my employment that got terminated. My employment got terminated.
My job got removed from me, not me from it.
Oh my goodness.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about the son of encouragement, Barnabas, and how important it is to be one. You know, a lot of people say, "Yeah, I want an encourager." It's like, if we want to be one, if we want one in our life, we need to be one, right?
That's right.
And you reap what you sow. If you sow encouragement, then you get encouragement back. But he tells us to encourage one another in the Lord. We're supposed to always encourage each other. But what I was talking about earlier, right before the break, was that all of a sudden, these Gentiles have become Christians, and it's the first place that they were called Christians was in Antioch. And so they send Barnabas, this man of integrity, goes there, verifies it, and says it's true. And the first thing he does is like, man, this is a great place for Saul to minister. I need to bring him here because they don't know any history. They don't know his history. Yeah, they have no luggage because they just became Christians. They were just Gentiles, so they weren't in this whole God argument prior to that, right? So he goes to Tarsus, and he gets Saul and brings Saul in there for an entire year. They minister. Barnabas ministers with Saul. He knew to go get Saul. I mean, just think about how important these folks are. I mean, he's like, Barnabas is like a divine connector. He's one that could be trusted. He's a conduit for God connecting things and people and resources and all that type of thing. And it's like, this is a currency can flow through a Barnabas, whatever it is. And he knew this is a place to connect Paul, you know, which is Saul, to connect him here at Antioch. It was beautiful. I mean, think about how important that was. And so he comes in there and they minister for a year. And Saul's ministering there. We'll just call him Paul from now on. That's who he became. Paul's ministering there only because a Barnabas saw inside of him what everybody rejected because of the other things they thought about him. I mean, he was so Jewish, he was rejected by the Christians, and he was so Christians, he was rejected by the Jews. It's like he was stuck in between, you know. But Barnabas was able to discern in him what God had done in him and brought it out of him. So let me tell you this. Sometimes your places, you're only there not because of your own integrity. You're there because of the integrity of others. And so many people miss that. And they start doing things they shouldn't be doing, not realizing you're not here because of your own integrity. You're here because of Barnabas. But that's okay. If you understand that, then you can honor the Barnabas in your life and realize God's doing something through this person who's going to bring me to my destiny. Does that make sense?
Right.
And so he went looking for the very one whose life now he had seen and discerned and watched the fruit in his life as he preached Jesus around in Jerusalem. Now he's bringing them to preach Jesus to the Christians at Antioch. And so here he is. He's there because of Barnabas. And these new believers are being blessed because of Barnabas. And Barnabas is blessed because of God. I mean, think how powerful this is.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he can be trusted. They don't have to sit there and check on him and text him every 15 minutes to find out what's happening at Antioch from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't text. No, they didn't have a text there. But, you know, you just trust, you trust a man of integrity. He's going to do, yeah, or she's going to do, you know, what they said they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so in that, so all of a sudden, this is how powerful God sees it. They're there worshiping and praying and fasting and in Antioch. And all of a sudden, just the Lord is just overcome with the preparation of this man named Paul. Because of what God did through Barnabas and what Barnabas allowed God to do through him. And just suddenly, I mean, the creator of the universe, suddenly, Jesus Christ himself suddenly just interrupts all this encouragement. And he says, I want you to set Barnabas and Paul aside for me.
Mm.
I'm going to send them somewhere. Mm. Set them aside. I got some things I want them to do. You know, and so many people want that moment in their life, but they reject every Barnabas around them. Or they go to Ananias and Sapphira for advice because they saw something happen and they wrote a book about what they saw instead of what they experienced. And that moment didn't just happen. It happened because of a man of integrity named Barnabas, who was an encourager, who all those things we talked about, that that's who he was, that God could use him. And so all of a sudden now, Barnabas, God's calling Barnabas and Paul as he's sending them out to begin to reach the Gentiles. I mean, think how powerful it is. God, the creator of the universe, said, okay, now. And so they finished praying, they laid hands on them, they just sent them out. And the interesting thing is, there comes a point in time when you are raised up to a certain point in a place of encouragement that you can say, you know what? You got it from here.
Mm.
Because Paul became an apostle. Mm-hmm. An apostle. Think about that. He became an apostle in the Lord and was able to reach the Gentiles with the gospel and wrote over 50% potentially, approximately, of the New Testament Bible.
Mm.
50% what they built Bible schools on. But what happened if there wasn't a Barnabas, if there wasn't an encourager, if there wasn't somebody to encourage them? So many people really want and need it. All they need, everything's, you know, Barnabas didn't put that in him. Barnabas saw what God put in him.
Mm.
But all Saul needed was somebody to see what was in him. Mm. But when he saw it, he knew he had to work with him a while, and he had to work with those that he knew who couldn't receive him just yet. And understand, if they'll all work together in the Holy Spirit, one day this guy's going to raise up and he's going to be an apostle, and he is going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and he'll write 50% of a book called the New Testament that they'll build Bible schools on and use for the next 2,000 plus years to be able to bring people into personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One that's going to be taken up to third heaven, one that's going to speak before kings, and just awesome things are going to take place. But it took that of a Barnabas. Some people say, well, you know, I don't do much, you know, what can I do? You can encourage someone.
Mm-hmm.
If you experience and see the fruit of God in someone's life, despite what other people are saying about them, because they may have experienced bad things from this person, but they don't know that this guy had a road to Damascus experience, and he's in the process of being transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit into something that God's going to use to write 50% of what they're going to build Bible schools on. But you see this in their life, and you go, you know, I just want to let you know, when you preached the other day, when you shared that talk with me, when we were in that coffee house the other day, you know, whatever, you know, I just was so encouraged. I grew more hungry for God. You know what I'm saying? That encounter. And all of a sudden they start realizing, because there's not a lot of those folks. There's a lot of folks that get blessed from people that God is using, but they don't tell them that they're blessed. They don't sow financially, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If 97% of the church, according to George Barna, is not even doing, mm-hmm. robbing from God. But understand this, that if you just obey God, and maybe you're going to be that conduit that connects, and there's a lot of folks that connect darkness to the church. I mean, there's people that you know, connect wrong things, mm-hmm. to the church. But I'm talking about those that have integrity, and that the leadership of the church knows this person's life, They know that they're trustworthy. They know what they're doing is within the context of what God says, and they could send them anywhere, and they're going to do the very same thing. So when they say this man can be trusted, then they're going to trust that man. I mean, oh, for the day of that kind of integrity again, right? It's like, whoo, my goodness. And so I'm just saying this. I'm just challenged by Barnabas' life here, is saying, you know what? You know, we can all be a Barnabas. What did he do? Barnabas stood in the gap, what would eventually be the salvation of the non-Jews, of the Gentiles, of which, until the full number comes in, the sudden shift of salvation of the Jews will take place. How relevant was that one moment when Barnabas says, you know, I got this man, I've been talking to him. I've been watching him, watching what he's preaching, what he's saying. And I'm aware of his history. I know what he did. It was pretty bad. Mm. You know, I went by Stephen's grave last week. Mm. You know, and I know there's some people, even as we speak, that are serving time based on what he'd done. Mm. Under false charges. Because they were persecuting, trying to stop the church. But let me tell you something. He's a new man. He's not the same man that he used to be. You may know him as, you know, Legion up in the, you may know him, her as the prostitute. You may know them as a drug user or addicted person or somebody who's had these, you know, multiple relationships. You may know them as whatever. But now God no longer calls them by that. God calls them a son. And if you speak into them as a son of encouragement, then they very well may be called an apostle, a pastor, a teacher, a business owner, a father, a mother. I mean, think about it. Mm. Dear Lord, we ask you for a release of sons of encouragement. And I pray that you would get a son of encouragement in your life and that you would be one. Be one in your household. Be one to your parents. Be one to your spouse. Be one in your fellowship. Be one in your office complex with all those folks seeking someone to say something good. Let them know that God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. And when you see something positive, identify it and tell them, I caught you in the act of doing something good. Encourage someone today.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.